Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hey, Easter service. Super good, right?
Yeah.
Come on, yeah, give it up. Come on, a lot of people put a lot of work into a Resurrection Sunday service. Had a great number of people. Had a lot of people give their lives to Christ. That was good. Who likes that? I like that. Kind of why we do this. Amen. Connect people with God, right? And last week we had our anniversary barbecue. Yeah. Good food. Good food. It was good because we had our barbecue broke. Well, ours, if somebody's who donated it. And what's good about that, though, is normally people pig out on the burgers, and we have a bunch of leftover. Here's what's kind of funny. People get filled on the burgers, and they don't finish the sides, but this time people filled up on the sides and still ate the burgers. I don't know how that worked exactly. One of those like, oh, I'm completely full, except I have room for that. I'm full, but except for that, I feel like there's somewhere right around here that I could lodge a burger. And maybe a dog could slide right over here in this intestine. I think there's room. But it was a good time. Lots of good potato salad. I'm a potato salad fan. It was a good time. It's important that we celebrate the phases of life. Amen?
Amen.
It's important that we celebrate things, you know. You'll notice in certain cults, they want to take away your celebrations. They don't want you to be excited about anything but them. And hey, you know, we've got a lot of young believers in this church. Anytime you're with a group and they want to start removing the festivities of life, you know you're not following Jesus, right? You're following man. Amen?
Yeah.
I think it's funny that Jesus went to weddings. He went to them. He didn't say you can't have a wedding because you have to come to me. He didn't say you can't have a reception because you have to come to me. Right? It talks about even his birthdays in the Bible, right? He didn't say you can't remember birthdays because of me. That's good preaching right there. You know you're following man when they want all the celebrations to be about them. All right? Celebrating anniversaries is important to get away. It's important to get away for birthdays. It's important to celebrate birthdays. All right? And if you're not sure about this, ask your wife. They seem to have a connection on this that most fellas don't have, right? If you don't think it's important enough, ask your wife. She'll let you know how important these celebrations should be. Honey, it's the 13th and a half anniversary of our first date. I really feel like we should go out to eat. Or I should be bought something. Have you noticed that they have not only do they know what should be celebrated, they know how.
Yeah.
How you should be celebrating it. Does anybody else notice that, or is that just me? Have you noticed that? We'll just say it's God, right? We'll just say it's God. Hallelujah. Husbands, you can bring some covering to that gift. However, it's better just to listen and do it. Amen? Let me ask you this. What if, as husbands, right, have you noticed, I don't know, Mike, have you noticed that women, okay, that's Essex. Let me start again. Have you noticed sometimes, Christopher, that the sometimes our wives value these festivities more than the husband. Have you noticed that? And the husband all say, like, we can't spend that kind of money. Has anybody noticed this? What would happen if we said this is probably God and just trust God for the finances to make these things important? What if we did it in faith? What if husbands and wives valued the differences and trusted God to bring supply for these things that are valuable to our spouse? What if we did that? What if we said, Lord, if this is important, then you supply provision for the vision. Amen? Right? I do something similar at times. I'm like, well, how are we going to pay for it, right? Like, it's something similar, not exactly what I'm talking about. But possibly if you think we should be doing things, you should pray into how we're going to pay for it, possibly. But you hear what I'm saying, though? The festivities are important. And so we were celebrating our 9th anniversary. Come on, a lot of lives changed, amen? A lot of lives changed. I mean, we're in our 10th year. Right? We just finished our 9th anniversary. And that's 10 years of, in our 10th year of Sunday morning services. We were meeting before that as an outreach. And we reached out, and now we're here we are. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, right as we're celebrating our anniversary, we move into a new space. How about you? I don't think it's, you know. It's important that we recognize these prophetic instances in our lives, these prophetic milestones. It's important that we recognize that God is doing something. You know, he's not just out there in heaven. We're not deists where we say, like, God created things, he put it in motion, and now he's uninvolved. He pre-mapped everything, and now he's uninvolved. He's involved, amen? And I found the more we look for him, the more we see him. The more you look for him, the more we see him. And the more we look for him speaking in our circumstances, the more he's involved in our circumstances. I like prophetic nudges from the Lord, don't you? I like when numbers match up and, you know, people say something and then someone else quotes that phrase that we heard God say. I love that. I love God's natural confirmation that we're on the right spiritual track, don't you? I like it. I don't necessarily need it, but I certainly like it. It's reassuring. I like it. And so we have the barbecue. It's important to celebrate these things, right? I remember I tell this story a lot, but I remember early on when we were in outreach still, we were still meeting on Friday nights, we had a prophetic guy come in. And this was very, very early, within the first couple months of us being a people. And a guy came in and he had a prophetic word for our house. And he said, one day someone's going to give us a building. This is not the fulfillment of that. And he said, but he also said, within a year, you're going to double in size. And I looked at my wife. I said, can you believe it? We're going to be here a year from now. This is amazing. We're going to be around in a year. That's amazing. God, you're so awesome. I never doubted that God would draw people to his presence and power. I doubted my ability to keep it going, right? Like, and what I've learned over time is we can't keep it going. Only he can. Only he can. Amen. And he'll even use us. Yeah, no, amen. Come on, let's thank God. So here we are at our first service. And let me take a quick picture. Just for, you know, I said I like living memorials. No? Ready? Smile. Try to look good. Amen. That's you right there. Amen. Honey, can I give that to you? Thank you. Hallelujah. Welcome. Welcome to the living room of Revive Life Church. Amen. How about the worship team? Did they kill it today or what? I want to thank our entire extended leadership team for serving so well and getting this place set up. Everybody who helped move us in last week, thank you. It looks very different than when we moved in, right? And those of you who saw it 3 weeks ago, it is a completely different space. It didn't look anything like this. We've completely painted. We built the stage. None of this was here the way you see it now. I want to thank, like I said, our extended leadership team for serving so well. And a couple people who aren't on our leadership team who put in so many hours, Frank and Greg and Marvin and Kevin Vargas, that just came in and put a lot of hours. Give it up if you would. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to Acts chapter, where are we going to start here? Where do I want you to turn today? Why don't you go ahead and turn to John chapter 16, and I'll be there in a minute. How about that? Is that good?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love you. We thank you for what you've done among us. And Lord, this is all yours. Just a little building in East Boca, but it's yours. And Lord, and you use little things that confound the wise, Lord. And so, Father, I thank you that you choose to come and dwell in this little place here. This little real estate that we rent in Boca, and that you would come. And Father, we ask that you would teach us to yield to you in this place. I pray that we would, Father, that we would just be a people that would keep you front and center, that we would keep the gospel front and center. We keep the main things in this place. We would live a Sermon on the Mount lifestyle here in this place. Father, that we would value who you are and what you do, that this would be a place, a living memorial stone for so many, that they come and meet you here, receive the infilling of your spirit here, get the call of God in their life here. They would get hands laid on them and sent out right here, Lord, until you choose to move us somewhere else, Father. We pray that we would be good stewards of this place. We will be good stewards of this thing. You said, as whom much is given, much is required. And we pray that we would be found faithful in stewarding this. And we just ask, Lord, that you would come and abide here. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Starting a new message series today entitled Shine. It's all about the presence and power of God. And we get the title of the message from Numbers chapter 6. And you know this prayer well, that it's quoted often in church. You can go ahead and put it up there if you would. Numbers chapter 6, and here's part of it in the middle in verse 25. And did the lights crash again? Are we good? Okay, hallelujah. I'm a little scarred right now. How about you? You ever been that way? Something happens, now you're scarred. I've talked about my car getting stolen. Now I'm scarred. I can't find my car. I think it might be stolen. Is that just me? The lights turned off in the middle of the worship. I'm a little scarred. Did the lights crash? Look at that one. Watch out. Hallelujah. It's blinking now. Thank you, Jesus. Numbers chapter 6, starting in verse 25, he says, "The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you," what did it say? Peace. Hallelujah. You know what the Lord wants to give you? Peace. I don't know about you, but you need peace. I think you need peace more than money. You need peace more than someone. You need peace more than something. More than you need God to take away the anxiety, you need peace. Our world is starving for peace. Anti-anxiety medications are the most widely prescribed medications in our country today because people lack peace. I talk a lot about how our life is too busy. We live lives that have too many obligations, too many things going on, too much stuff happening. It's impossible to find a place of peace today. We are at the office, and then we take the office home with us. We're watching things in the car while we're driving. It's crazy. It's a life without peace. And a lot of people quote a lot of things and try to fight with anxiety. What we really need is to look for peace. We need to talk to anxiety less. We need to look for peace more. This is what needs to happen. And I have found there are things that God talks to me that I need to be responsible for. Right? He tells me things I need to do well. He tells me things I need to be responsible for. He's never once told me to deal with anxiety. He's never told me that anxiety is something that I need to deal with. He's told me what's important, and those are things I'm supposed to focus on. I'm the one who picks up burdens that don't bring peace. Does this make sense? The things that you're anxious about, it's highly unlikely that God said that's something I want you to worry about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The things that we're anxious about normally are not things of eternal value. That if the thing we're most fearful of were to crash and burn, we'd be fine. As a matter of fact, we may not be distracted from the call of God in our life. Can we turn off that light at least? You know what we need to do? Turn on this stage light. Someone going over here and turn on. Anybody from the team there? Thank you. Just turn the one on over the stage, and we'll work out this lighting thing at some point. Amen? When we go live, it's going to be amazing what we get done. It is. I don't even. That one right there. Now if it blinks, we won't know. Okay? Is that all right? Are we okay? We're just family, right? We're family. Right? We're not here for a performance. Amen? I'm here to be equipped with the presence and power of God. How about you? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so what I have found, you know, I don't make major decisions without the peace of God. Period. It's important that we learn how to steward the peace of God so we recognize it when it's time to make a decision. And when I don't experience the peace of God, I need to be figuring out what it is that I have empowered above God's word. What have I empowered above the revelation God has given me about the call of God on this season of my life? Amen? It's important that we start looking. Okay, I am at a place of dis-ease. What is it that's making me uneasy? And if you're like, oh, that person did that, then you know, it's offense. It's judgment. It's bitterness. It's worry over something that's not important. I'm afraid that I'm going to look bad at this. Ah, it's ego. It's ego. You can't be ego and in God's peace at the same time. You cannot make God number one and you number one at the same time. Right? If God's going to be number one in our life, that means somebody's number two. Yeah, come on. I'll tell it to the back. Hey, if God's going to be number one, then someone's at least one person's going to be number two. And you know what that means? Things may not work out for you the way you want them to work out. Because it's got to work out the way God wants it to work out. And unless you feel like you have the perfect mind of Christ already, it's highly unlikely that God is sharing with you everything he wants to do. As a matter of fact, you may hold on to some ideas of things that aren't his ideas. And at some point, we got to just say, well, whatever, I'm just following God. Amen? Are you with me? We brought Pastor Cameron into this place. I told you all about this. We brought Pastor Cameron into this place. What was that, 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? Whatever. Feels like a lifetime ago for me. About 30, right? And when he looked at this place, he said, this place, it's just too small. He said, it's too small. I said, well, that's God's problem. This is where we're moving. He's like, you know, he's talking to John Arnott on the phone with me there. He's like, yeah, no. Carl showed me the place. It's too small. I said, well, tell John Arnott to talk to Jesus. I don't know, because this is what we got. Jesus had 9 years to get us something bigger. Are you with me? Yeah. It has to look like something. That Jesus is number one in your life. It has to look like something. Yeah. It has to look like something. Like, here's where we're moving. It's too small. Should have said that a couple months ago and wrote a lot bigger check. I don't know what to tell you. Right? It's too small looks like something. It looks like you won't pay for something bigger, or here's we are. Listen, this is too small, and we're going to need some. Listen, God's going to raise up some businessmen, and we're going to get something bigger. Amen. Keep clapping. If you're clapping, I might be talking about you. Writing big checks. It looks like something. Writing big checks. Come on. Let me say this as we get into this word. I'm just talking right now for a second. We want the peace of God, amen? Let me give you a key. Not the key, but a key. Okay? A key is when you talk about people doing things wrong or people who need to do something, if you're talking about them, it's judgment. If you're talking about us, it's humility. The most judgmental ministries are ministries that call out the sin that they don't identify with. They need to repent. Are you hearing me? They need to. Anytime you're saying what they need to do, you're in judgment. When you're saying what we need to do, it's humility. If there is a large group in America that needs to repent, it's our job to reach them, not to judge them. As you're looking at people who need to repent, it's a trick of the enemy to take you right out of the peace of God. Stay in peace. It's not your business. Now, if they ask you if they should repent, yes. If they're not asked, yeah, I think you should stop doing that. Absolutely. That might be God. You ever disciple a new person? They're like, I feel like God might be telling me to quit doing drugs. I think that's God. I just feel like that's God. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, but I just feel deep in my spirit that might be God. Yeah. Right? It's funny if, you know, if you stop judging people, what they might ask you, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. That was free right there. So as a people, you know, we have a call on us as a house. Man, these lights are doing funny things, aren't they, Ron? Funny things. We'll be changing that. Hallelujah. Funny how? I make you laugh? I amuse you? No, funny. Funny how? Like a clown? Hallelujah. Listen, as a church, we have an identity. Our church has an identity, right? Us as a people, we have an identity, right? There's a lot of teaching today on individual identity in Christ, who you are, and the ladies are getting together to really focus on that, because what we find in the church is there's so many male preachers that the female identity of God is not really, you know, like, oh, the female, well, you know, God is not a man or a woman. I don't know if you know that. He's not a human. The Father, he identifies as the Father. I get that, but we were made in his image. Come here, honey. Pastor Tracy, right here. We were made in his image. Right? So there's an aspect of the Father that is not preached as much because there's so much male preaching. All right? That's why it says let the older women teach the younger, because there needs to be that affirmation of identity. Are you with me?
Amen.
And so, come on. And so the ladies are getting together, and you don't want to miss that, right? You want to get your ticket. If you can't afford it, talk to Jesus, but then talk to us. Amen? We don't want anybody to miss it because of that. Amen? Are you with me? So we talk a lot about individual identity in the church today, like you got to know who you are in Christ, but you're not going to know who you are until you know who we are. We completely throw out the corporate identity of the bride of Christ. The bride is considered singular, but it's many, many people. Are you with me? But we try to it's just about me and Jesus, just about me and Jesus. It's funny because he calls us the bride. Then he says we're all part of a body, individually part of a body. And if you don't understand the body, you're not going to know your purpose. Right? Are you with me? So you have to know individually, but there's also a corporate aspect. And if you're not corporately belonging to something, you're going to miss your individual identity in Christ. Because your purpose fits together with a body to accomplish something. And if you don't get that, you're going to try to be the whole body on your own, and you're not going to do it well. You're not going to represent Jesus well. You're not going to come into your call well. You're not going to fulfill your purpose well. So you got to be part of a people. You got to be I don't got time. Okay, real quick. That's why church hopping is so dangerous. That's why it's so unhealthy. I mean, I like some conferences, but people go to different conferences. I mean, the number one goal of a conference is to get people to go to conferences. I don't know if you know that. The number one goal of a conference, to get people to go to conferences. So they got bills to pay. People live off of people attending the conference, right? The number one goal of a church is to raise people up into mature, healthy people who know their identity and go change the world. Now, I go to conferences when I feel led to go to conferences. But people run to conferences as if that's where they get fed, and they get a bunch of words that aren't in line with where God is taking them.
Yeah.
And they don't know their identity. Be led by the Spirit. Go to conferences. Let God, get impartation where you can get it. But don't cut off what God is trying to do. If you're raising children, and some person is equipping your child to do something that has nothing to do with what your family's trying to do, you don't let them keep going there.
Yeah.
there's children's ministers in here, but you're your children's pastor.
Yeah.
I've just seen youth ministries that think they try to replace parents. And it's insane. You're your youth pastor for your kids. They're helping you. You're not helping them. I was in youth ministry. You're like, oh. And the youth pastors would be like, oh, they didn't let them come to youth ministry because of homework. And they didn't. Yeah. This service ain't that great. They need some grades. That's what parents are for. Oh, he's supposed to come drum here, but his dad wanted him to be at his service. Yeah. If you get a better job, you're going to leave. Dad's always going to be dad. But as a people, it's our call to connect people with the presence and power of God. That's the corporate call in this house, to connect people with the presence and power of God. This is what we are. It's our identity. It's what we do. It's part of who we are. And what we do has to go toward that end goal, that identity. Connect people with the presence of God. Now, if that is our corporate identity, it means it's also your individual identity. That means God will equip you to do what our house is called to do.
Yeah.
To equip people with the presence and power of God. We want this place, this building, to be a place of encounter.
Amen.
We want it to be a place of encounter. This is not the end goal. Church is not the end goal. Church is supposed to be a place where you are equipped to do the work of ministry. And if we're not equipping people to do the work of ministry, then we've done something wrong. We don't want to do something wrong, amen? We want to do something right. We want to equip people and send them out to touch other people with the presence and power of God. Now, we know this building is just a building, right? We know even in the book of Acts, chapter 7, they say, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands, right? We know that. The temple season is over for the body. It's no longer about a building. It's not about the temple. However, when people gather in a place, he shows up. People say, oh, you know, it's not about the church. You know, it's supposed to meet in houses. Well, houses are normally buildings. Yeah. it says house church is the way to do things. It's not supposed to be in a building. Do you live in a hut? Do you live in a tent? Where do you live? In a building. Just so funny, the building that's the anointed building is the building that you're running. Isn't that funny? What a coincidence right there, right? But normally we have people lead a meeting in a building and God comes and shows up. Amen? And we want this to be a place of encounter. And the burning room Friday night was amazing. We weren't sure what was going to happen, to be honest with you. Sometimes you're in a new place, people can be distracted. They don't know what's going on. They're looking around. There's lights blinking and all kind of issues with different stuff. And we're not sure what's going to happen. But very first song, boom, Prince of God comes. It was so sweet right from the beginning, right? Who was here? It was so good, right? So good. And as we continue to worship, the anointing of God just came in the room and the holiness of God was made manifest in the room and people were on their face crying and it was really, really, really powerful. Really powerful. And a tongue came and there was interpretation of the tongue with several visions and prophetic words and they all lined up together. And what God told us was if we give our heart to Him, He would give us His presence. And the vision that He shared was He saw the walls were being covered in gold. And as people touched the gold in the room, they became gold. And then people went out and touched people and they became gold. This is what we're talking about. The real treasure of heaven is not buildings. The real treasure of heaven is the presence of God. And heaven will be with Him in His presence with no barrier. No body of sin. No distraction. It's us and God. This is what our God calls perfection. The presence of God with no interruption. No distraction. This is where we're going to live in eternity for those who know Him. Amen? I'm looking forward to it personally. How are you, Christopher? I'm really looking forward to it. I hope we're in the same neighborhood, everybody. And we can barbecue. What are we going to cook? I don't know. Turkey berries. It's going to be a good time in heaven. It's going to be a good time. Who wants to go there with me? I see that hand. But there's no formula, right? There's no formula. It's not like we build a building and He has to come. He didn't have to because He's God, right? And he lives like He's God. He acts like He's God. He doesn't have to show up. There's no formula. He doesn't have to come, but He does. And it's so amazing. But we love God's presence and power. And as we talk time and again about how amazing it must have been to walk the earth with Jesus, I've been watching the on Netflix, there's a series. It's called AD. What's the rest of the name? The Bible Continues or something like that. It's on Netflix. It was on NBC. It's so good. Has anybody watched any of it? Kellyanne put me onto it. Watch it. It's so good. They live out the book of Acts. And I'm in the third one. It's Holy Ghost just came. I'm watching TV praying in the Holy Ghost. The glory of God is falling in my living room. I'm watching a TV show. I'm like, this scene should be longer. This scene should be longer. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but right now it should be longer. But the early church, they got persecuted. They got persecuted and Jesus was persecuted. They didn't like Him on the scene because when His holiness shows up, it stirs up the enemy. Right? Righteousness is always attacked by unrighteousness. Right? It's how it works. But Jesus was there just talking with people. Like, if I can get Him to say a sentence to me, my day is good. Right? I will tarry for a long time just to hear anything. Like, say anything, God. Tell me a recipe for soup, anything. Like, I'm down for anything right now. Right? And they walked with Him and they talked with Him. I if He did that today, how many books would come out? It took them, 40 years to write, the Gospels. Right now, they would have been writing books as it was going on, selling them. There'd be a poster for them. Walked with Jesus in Nazareth, right? Was rebuked by the Lord Himself on this bestseller, right? Like, they'd be hawking them everywhere, but they had different focus then, right? And so they walked with God, and how amazing that must have been. Still, Jesus said, I have something better for you. Now, I can't imagine being with Jesus. What would be better than that? He said, it's better that I leave, though. And he is the truth, so it can't be a lie. He said, it's better that I leave. And if we look here in our verse in John 16, if you're there with me, it says, but I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. It's better for you that I go away. You get ahead if I leave. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, here's what's something funny. Jesus said, I have to leave because when I go, I'm going to send you a helper. How many of you know if you're not doing anything, you don't need a helper? You only need help if you're doing something. If you're doing nothing, you don't need a helper. And then it won't be to your advantage. It really won't be anything. It won't, like, let me give you an example. I was working on my message here, and very good-hearted people would show up and say, Pastor, I'm here to help. How can I help you? I'm like, well, I'm working on my message. So it's just me doing that, just kind of a one-on-one deal. But there's people painting and cleaning. They can use help because they're doing something. The people doing something can use help. They need helpers. So many Christians today, they don't have the Holy Ghost because they're not actually doing anything that requires it. Are you with me? That came out a little more spicy than I meant it to. They need him for a salvation. Don't get me wrong. But they're like, I don't really believe in that whole baptism thing. I'm like, really? Do you see a lot of people get healed when you pray for them? Yeah, you don't need him because you're not doing anything that requires him. But when you start doing the stuff Jesus told us to do, then you actually need a help. Amen? Then you actually, I got to open this right here. Sorry. I didn't plan that well. Oh, I'm talking into my water. I didn't plan that well. Right? And so in this house, if you're part of this house, we believe that we're called to do something. Your something might look different than my something, but your something is not nothing. It's something. And it's got to be something more than lay on the ground and look at Jesus and get more of him while doing nothing. What do you feel called to do? I just lay on the ground. Okay, how about you? Like, I'm moving on now. Like, there's got to be more. I get down on the ground to get more of Jesus because when I get up, I need more of him. Are you with me? We do the burning room. You know what we do at the burning room? We don't do anything in the burning room. We encounter Jesus. Why? Because we're people who need to have encountered Jesus for what we feel called to do. Right? And we in this house, come on. And in this house, yeah. In this house, we want and need the presence and power of God. We can't do what we're called to do without the presence and power of God. We're not here to put on a fancy Sunday morning service. We have lights, and we like them to work when they're supposed to work. But if they don't work, we're going to keep doing what we're called to do. Lights don't keep us from doing what we're called to do. We have a building. We love having a building. We don't need a building to do what we're called to do. Amen? Amen. Come on, meet in a community center, meet in elementary school, meet in a Methodist church. We'll meet at a middle school, meet in a gymnasium. We'll meet wherever we need to meet. Living rooms, at a park. It does not matter. We don't need a building to do what we feel called to do. Are you with me? In this season, we feel like God is telling us we need more presence and power. We need to have more times of encounter, and that's what we needed this building for. More times of presence and power so we can go out and do what he's called us to do. Are you with me? So in this two-phase call on this house, I want to briefly talk about these two things. First thing I want to talk about is the presence of God. I want to talk about the presence of God. Now, we know God is omnipresent, right? He's everywhere. Oh, but God is everywhere. We don't need to call him. He's everywhere. Yeah, are you experiencing him? He's everywhere, then why are there lost people? All right, there's got to be something more. Right? We get what we value, right? You get what you focus on, you get what you pay attention, what you hunger for, that's what you get. And we're people who have decided that the presence of God is the source of everything. This is the source of everything good. I could do nothing good apart from God. Are you with me? We could do nothing good apart from God. We need his presence in our lives. In the scriptures, historically, it talks about the presence throughout the history of the Bible, throughout the history of God's interaction with people. And the Hebrew term, and as I tell you all the time, I don't speak Hebrew, right? I read a little Hebrew as long as the English is next to it, right? And I read it. I try to understand what's happening. I don't pronounce it so well. So I come up here and I butcher words. But I just try to let you know I'm actually studying what I'm talking about, right? But the Hebrew word for presence throughout the Bible is the same word for face, right? And it implies a closeness, a closeness, presence, right? Are you with me? It's the concept of being present. And this is why we talk about it so much. The Lord has led us to talk so much about being present, because you can be somewhere but not be present. You can be on a date with your spouse or your significant other, and you're both sitting there staring at your phone. Neither one of you are present. You're not giving your face to that person. This is where my attention is. Right now, I'm present with you. There's a connection happening. There's a connection happening. This is not present with you. This is, why am I here? This guy's not looking at me. This is present. And throughout scriptures, it talks about the presence of God in the face, face to face, turning his face towards you. We, at our family, we're not supposed to. No, normally we keep this rule. We're not supposed to bring any phones to dinner. We eat dinner together every night, and we don't bring our phones. You don't look at your phone while we're having family time. If you're like us, our lives are busy. We don't have a lot of time. We're just the four of us doing nothing. So we break bread together every day, and we're a family. We don't look at our phones. The kids aren't watching TV. We've never let our kids run around and try to put a bite in their mouth. If that's how you're raising kids, I'm telling you, you're going somewhere not good. Make your kids be present. Teach them that this is important. This is more important than me having to deal with your fit. I will deal with your fit because this is important. You'll stay at the table with us while we're eating. That's for someone. Listen, it only gets harder when they get older. If you can't get your 4-year-old to be present, you're not going to get your 14-year-old to be present. And it's a lot easier to correct a 4-year-old than a 14-year-old. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? If your kid lives through life staring at a digital screen, start breaking that habit right now. You're teaching them, my most important value is that you be entertained. You have to break it. Because then you're teaching them. It's all about you being entertained. That's what life is about. And life is about people. It's not about entertainment. Yeah. It's about connecting with God. It's the only thing we get to take with us to heaven are the relationships we form here. That's all you'll take to heaven. Right? Hallelujah. I don't know who that's for, but that's a little weightier than I meant to share. But let's teach our kids presence, right? We want to carry God's presence to Boca Raton. This is what we want to do. We want to encounter his presence, take it to Boca Raton and to the edges of the world. This is what we want to do. We want to see that happen right here in this room. We want to lay hands on people and send them out to the four corners of the earth to bring this presence of God with them, that they're saturated in. We don't just serve God. We're not just servants. Jesus even said, no longer do I call you slaves, I call you, you know what he said? Friends. No longer do I call you slaves. I don't call you servants. I call you friends. Friends spend time with each other. We're carriers of his presence. We're carriers. And this presence of God that goes with us, it means something about who we are. It changes us, our corporate identity and our individual identity. It changes how people relate to us. Once people know that we're people of the presence of God, that we're people who have encounters with God. I have found that people who don't know God really don't want you telling them what's wrong with their life, but they have no problem hearing about your encounters with God. They don't like being preached at. No one wants you to hear that you need to do this with your wife, you need to do this with your husband, this is what you need to do with your kids. Nobody likes that. But I like telling people how I raise my kids because I want to provoke them to jealousy to do that with their families. Because I want people to have good families. Not because I want somebody to emulate me. And you may do parenting different than me. And that's fine. But I have two teenagers, and we talk. We have conversations, and I'm pretty sure I know what's going on in their lives. That didn't just happen by accident. Right? I hear God. I hear God. I'm led by the peace of God. I want people to walk in that. And so, come on, amen. So if you remember Moses, Moses was having this time of trouble with leaders. And leaders decided that they know what people are supposed to be doing better than Moses. And God decided to send a little signal to them. He said to them in Numbers chapter 12, he said to them, "When I speak to Moses, I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, not in dark saying, and he beholds the form of the Lord." This is what God says about people who encounter his presence. We're not just guessing about God. I didn't go to a store full of religious stuff, New Age stuff, and just try to figure out, I think this will be my God. I know him. Amen. Do you know him? I know him. And I have found that what he says to me lines up with what he said to Paul and said to Peter and said to John and it lines up. And I know him, and I can go into the world and people are like, "Well, you know, we all celebrate the same God." I'm like, "Kind of, you know, but you know, Jesus really I can speak on his behalf because I know him." Amen. My wife can speak on my behalf because she knows me. Very few people can speak on your behalf. Very few people can say, "Well, I know Marco would want this to have happen." You have to be in pretty close relationship with Marco to be able to say that. But God says, "I want to know you, and you're going to speak on my behalf to people. And when you speak on my behalf to these people, my presence will be there." My presence will be there. You don't got to tell them what's wrong with their life. You tell them about me. I will be there, and I'll let them know what I want them to know. That's the problem. We're not out here by ourselves. We're not out here with a Bible and our judgment telling everybody how they're going to hell if they don't listen to us. We bring his presence. That's what we do. We bring his presence. Now, in the New Testament, you know, it's written in Greek, not Hebrew, but we find again the Greek words for presence are face. It implies this face to face, this turning the face to, this the face of God being near us. There's an authority that comes with being in his presence. His presence on your life brings authority. We get to speak for him. We get to give away his stuff. We get to have ownership of his things. It's amazing that he does this, but this is what he does. And it's not only for what we're called to do, it's for us personally as well. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. And some, it says we can enter boldly before the throne of grace so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's because we have relationship. That's because we're people of the presence of God. When I go visit my mom, I'm 47 years old. My mom is older than 47 years old. I don't knock when I go to her house. I walk in because of our relationship. This is still my house. She don't even live in a house I grew up in, but I'm walking in. Right? I can confidently enter in the house. I don't have to knock. I don't have to ring a door. I go. I'm walking in now. This is my family. My sister doesn't knock on my door. I don't knock. We go in. Sometimes we hear the dogs will ring because we don't want the dogs to jump on us. But, you know, it's more like, "Get your dog out. I'm coming in." But there's this relationship, this authority that we have because of the relationship. I can go on a mission trip for a month and come back. I'm not knocking on my front door for my wife to let me in. I'm coming into my house. This is where I belong. Right? We belong in the presence of God. It's who we are. It's what we're called to be. This is what God says that we as a people. And this is all the people of God, but we've embraced it as our call. The presence of God is part of our call. Amen? The second part is the power of God. Out of this presence comes power, this authority like I talked about. We now have an authority over this natural realm because we understand we've been given the authority over the spirit realm. Let me say that again. Because of the authority that we have in the spirit realm, we have authority over this natural realm. We're called to be stewards of this earth. You know that? Amen. We're called to be stewards. Something to think about. Jesus never said, "I'm king of heaven." He's king of heaven and all this is his kingdom. And he came to save what? The world. If he was just the people in the world, he would have said that. He's going to redeem this earth. Because that's what his word says. If his word doesn't say that, let me know. But he said, I come to save the world. This world was cursed with the presence of the wicked one, and he's come to redeem it. We have authority. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we get to do what he was called to do, and we get to redeem this earth. Now, I'm not sure what your eschatology is, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm establishing the kingdom of God right here. And I don't plan on abandoning it. Amen. And so we are called to walk in the power of God. So let's look at Matthew chapter 10, what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 7. He says, as you go, what's the next word?
Preach.
As you go.
Preach.
Well, first of all, you got to have a message to preach, right? You got to have a message. You got to know him in order to preach, to talk about him. But we're called to say things about Jesus. The word says that he spoke the world into existence. Amen? He used words. He didn't just look holy. He didn't look nice. He didn't just look. There's something different about you. I want to be formed now. No, he spoke the world into existence. At some point, you have to put words. You have to put words around what people are experiencing when they come around you. If there is something different with you, they don't have language for it. You have to give it to them. Right? You have to preach. You have to tell people, yeah, man, I was dealing with this, but God just spoke to me and said that there's peace in the midst of this storm, and so since then I've been calm. You got to share the testimony of Jesus Christ with the people around you. And if you're not one who wants, if you're not necessarily feel called to be an evangelist, you got to learn how to do it without judging people. If you are called to be an evangelist, you really have to learn how to do it without judging people. To make him attractive, right?
Yeah.
Right? You have to learn how to have gospel conversations with people. Just to tell people about the goodness of God. To tell people why your family looks better. Why you may have come from a broken family, but now you don't have a broken family. You have to have language for that and give that to people.
Yeah.
Like, man, your family's so good. I know, God changed my life. And now I'm actually able to be a good father. I'm just so thankful that he did that because he fathered me.
Amen.
That's my testimony.
Amen.
That's my testimony. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what I experienced. What are you going to say about that? No, you didn't. Tell people about this. I told you the story. I woke up one day. I said, I'm done. I'm done working for my house. I'm done now. I just felt like the Lord told me, that's it. That's it. I'm done. All right, I'm done. We're going to do it. By the end of the week, we signed a lease for this place. I mean, like, look, 9 years for a piece of property. That's Jesus. Let me tell you a funny story. You know, there's a Spanish church next door. Did I tell this? I didn't tell this story in Sunday morning yet, did I? I guess it happened this week. So there's like some empty storefronts over here. And I'm looking out of my office, and I see them looking at the empty storefront over there. I said, hey, how you doing? Because they were looking at our windows. They're like, what's going on in here? We're like, oh, the church that was in here moved out. They're like, they moved out? I was like, yeah, they got another place. They moved. And I was like, well, what are you guys doing? He goes, we were looking at that place, but if we knew this was open, we would have rented it. I was like, sorry. Got a 3-year lease with a 3-year option. I don't know what to tell you. That's God.
Yeah.
The place didn't even get on the market. They're like, if we'd have known, we'd have rented it. Like, I told them, I've been praying you out of that place for years. Every time I see them, I'd be like, I'm praying you out of there so we can move in. They didn't move, so here we are, you know? You can't orchestrate that stuff. This never got on the market. We're just like, yeah, we'll take that. I walked in. Here's what's funny. I walked into this room, and it didn't look anything like this, right? Didn't look, I walked in. I was like, we'll take it. My wife's like, whoa, not so fast. We need to pray. We want to talk to people. No, this is ours. We'll take it. We'll take it. I said, honey, if we don't take this, someone else is going to take it. If it would have been on the market, how many churches would have been happening? Come on. You can't find a place in Boca Raton. How did this happen? I just walked in. I just knew. I just knew God. This is. Come on. God knows how to talk to you. Amen? God knows how to talk to you. Amen? Some of you looking for a house, God knows how to set it up.
Amen.
Are you with me? God knows how to set it up. I'm here to testify. I, I, Every time we've gotten an office, we've gotten buildings, I got a house, I bought my condo, it just happened. It was just the most unexciting thing ever. Just like, yep, I'll take it. Every single time walking, I'm like, yeah, this will work. And then that's it. I have an amazing house. I walked in, I was like, sold. Like, you've only seen the living room. Yeah, this is my house though, right? God knows how to work it out. Like, if you don't have faith for that, just get under my faith. Now, you're going to need some money. Might need some credit, you know. You might need to pay your bills on time and let people trust that you're going to pay off the mortgage, right? Like, there are some natural things you got to do. But get under my faith. I got faith for you to get housing. Amen?
Amen.
I have faith for you to get housing. Listen. I don't know if you recognize the significance of this, but we have authority over land in Boca now for the very first time. We as a people have authority. We have land that's ours. Now it's ours for 3 years with a three-year option, but at some point we'll own. Amen? And if you feel like we should own right now, you can make checks payable to Revival Life Church. You can even help pick out the lot, right? I'm down. But listen. He sent us out, right? Here's what's really funny. He says, I'm sending you out. That means we're actually going to have to go do something. I'm sending you out. He didn't say, you might want to think about going out. Or, I'm sending some people out. Those right now, if you're feeling the fuzzies in your heart, I'm sending you out. Who believes that everyone can be saved? Who believes that? Those are the people he's talking about right here. Put the scripture back up. This is who he's talking about right now. Everyone who can be saved. He's saying, I'm sending you out. It's going to come back up. I feel it in my spirit. I am sending. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. It's coming up. I feel it right now. Just shakaba. Miracles are happening. I'm sending you out. Listen, it's not a suggestion. I'm telling you to go. This is not the end-all, be-all of Christianity. I go to church on Sunday. And if you're called to be this here with us, that means you're getting equipped to be sent out. As you go, what? Saying what? You're filthy sinners and God hates you. It's funny. Jesus even told you what to say. He even gave you the words. I've seen a lot of salvation scripts. He gave us one. What am I supposed to say to them? Kingdom of heaven dead at hand. What does that mean? I have a personal relationship with God. His presence is in my life. The kingdom of heaven is here. Verse 8. He says, as you go preach, come. Then he says, here's what you do. You tell them the kingdom of heaven is here, and then you show them the kingdom of heaven is here. You tell them the kingdom of heaven is here, then you show them the kingdom of heaven is here. Listen, if you're like, I don't know how to do that. I got two words for you. Go team. Go team. Go team isn't in the ultimate. The go team is to equip you to go. Get on the go team. Get under their faith to do these things, and then you'll do it in your life. Here's something really funny. Has anybody in here ever raised anybody from the dead? Anybody in here raised the dead yet? Not yet? Okay. That's sad, because he told us to do that. Heal the sick. It's right after heal the sick. It's like number two. Okay, I've healed sick people. Like, I've prayed for them in the name of Jesus and they got healed. Amen. I've asked Holy Spirit to come and they've been. Then he says, raise the dead. You know what? We're so good at healing the sick, they don't get dead. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. We're just too anointed for them to die. Heal the sick. I have a feeling that's not it. What do you think? Might be because we have young church. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Listen, if you want to heal the sick, you got to value these kind of things. You may even have to answer an altar call to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. You may actually feel a cold coming on, and before you take medicine, you ask somebody to pray for you. You might actually value healing in your life so that you can give it away. You might actually, instead of running to any natural remedy on something, you actually seek God. You seek the Word of God. You seek prayer from friends. You actually are looking for the Spirit of God to be present in what you're going through so that you can give that away. I have nothing against medicine. I have nothing against doctors. If you need a doctor or medicine, you need just do that. If you need a psychiatrist, go to a psychiatrist. If you need whatever you need, do it. But I tell you what, the highest level of healing comes from Jesus. Right? We don't throw away the good because we want the best. I want them both. If you need insulin, take insulin until you're healed. Amen? Can't get healed if you're dead. Very hard to get a healing underground. Amen? So stay alive until you get your healing. But we got to be freely valuing these things enough to receive it so we can give it away. And we're people who are supposed to be giving it away. Amen? Amen? Come on. At some point, we got to come to a decision in our mind. If we have friends we haven't talked to about Christ, that's a problem. Why don't your friends know about Jesus? I'm not talking about preaching, but they should know that if they want to know who to talk to about God, you're it. Does this make sense? God's presence and power is the manifestation of Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's better that I go because I will send the Helper. I will send Him. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now. The Bible tells us that. He has sent Holy Spirit to be on earth. We have one God. I don't know how that works, but I'm not going to trip on that. I refuse to be distracted by something I don't understand. I do know that God is here. Name Him whatever you want to name Him, but He is here. He is the Helper. And the Helper is here to help us do things that God was called to do. Paul got saved. Actually, he had an encounter with God. And God sent a disciple and said, I need you to tell Saul everything he must suffer for me. This entire walk can't be about our comfort. It's got to be God's purpose on the earth. And I just believe in this room, God is going to anoint some people to do something amazing. Let me get the band to come on up here since we got them here still. Listen, Jesus is empowering people to do amazing things in this house. We have to be a people who value what God values. Amen? So, I went a little long. Apologize. But I want us to pray. Stand with me if you would. I want us to just pray that we would have an encounter. Let me say this. Ladies, you want to be a part of this women's breakfast. Get your ticket. Don't let this pass you by, right? You need relationships with other anointed women of God to do what God has called you to do. Right? We've got some fellows working on a similar fellow thing. It's been a little slower to develop because the fellows are running it. But I just want us to pray here for a minute. We're going to sing this song one time, and then we're going to bless you, and you can go.
In heaven, let heaven
Logos of God.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come quickly, your will be done. Kids, it's super neat back there. You're gonna love it. God bless you. If you need healing in your body, if you need deliverance, or you need an encounter with God, we're gonna welcome you to the front. We have a prayer team here that would love to pray with you. Amen. Give one more shout if you would. Amen. Take it, prayer team, ministry team.
Thank you.
prayer for anything, there's people at the front. Give somebody a big hug before you go, and just celebrate everybody who did anything today, if you would please. Yeah? We love you. Mike, if you can just play for a couple minutes, it'd be great.